السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I welcome you here today on this blessed day of this blessed hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His rahmah and His peace and His blessings upon each and every one of us here today and for all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are observing the day and the time of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Allahumma ameen. My brothers and sisters, as you all know, this month here, a lot of us are encouraged to commemorate the legacy of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you all know, the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once told us that the sunnah is something that you should revive. He tells us to revive the sunnah. It doesn't say to you to initiate a sunnah. Revive something that's already been there. So it's important for you, brothers and sisters, that when you think about his legacy, and when you commemorate his legacy, ensure that his legacy, there is a foundation in the authentic tradition of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know for a fact that whatever it is that you want to do, whatever it is that you believe in him, there is authentic dalil or evidence to support what it is that you want to do. And having said that, ayyuhal ahbab, My topic for you today is to tell you exactly what you should be doing and what you should be thinking about, inshallah, when you think about commemorating the legacy of our Rasul, salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in my opinion, some of the most beautiful verses that you will ever come across of the entire Quran. But before I mention them to you, I'd like to tell you an incident that happened and the reason or the setting that took place as to why these verses were revealed. These verses, brothers and sisters, once there was a time when the companions, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, they started to think and reminisce about his legacy. They started to miss him and they started to think about him. So they went up to Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, and they asked her, tell us something unique about the Prophet. Tell us something beautiful. So she responds and she says, everything was unique about him. But what the companions wanted to know, they wanted to know something special that they themselves as the outsiders wouldn't know. Now they're going to the wife, and what this tells you is the wife would know things about him that the public wouldn't know about. So she says that there was once a time where we went to bed. The Prophet ﷺ and his wife, they went to sleep. The first benefit, brothers and sisters, that you already see in this narration is that even the private life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a lesson for all of us. We learn even from his private life as well. So here she is, she's going to say that one night they went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up and he nudged his wife. And he asked her, can I stand up in front of my Lord? Here's your second benefit. This is a man whom Allah Azza wa Jal commands in the Quran, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up even if it's just a portion of the night. He's ordered to stand up during the night in prayer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So why is he asking his wife permission to do this? Brothers and sisters, this is courtesy at its best. This is courtesy at its best. He knows that his wife needs him. He knows that companionship is there and his wife would need that from him. So he also wants to ensure that she is comfortable with the fact that he's going to separate himself and stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he began to do so. And when the Prophet ﷺ started reciting, he started to cry immensely. Started to cry so much that his beard got soaking wet. And when he was going down for sujood, there was a small puddle of tears, and he went down into sujood. And he remained in sujood for such a long period that Bilal radiallahu anh gave the adhan for fajr, and they didn't see him. They didn't see the Prophet ﷺ coming for the salah. So Bilal, after finishing the adhan, he goes up to the Prophet ﷺ, and at that moment he finished. And he asks, Ya Rasulullah, we're waiting for you. We thought that you weren't going to come. And the Prophet ﷺ responds and says, O Bilal, how could you come and disturb me whilst Allah Azza wa Jal was revealing these particular verses to me? What are those verses? It is the farewell message of Allah Azza wa Jal at the end of Surah Ali Imran. And where Allah Azza wa Jal begins by saying, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These set of verses until the end of the surah, the setting is exactly in this narration. Allah Azza wa Jal says that verily in the skies, in the heavens and the earth, they are an ayat, an indication or miracles from Allah Azza wa Jal, especially for those who are al-bab. We'll come to this in a moment. Do you notice that this ayah is very similar to an ayah that you've read in Surah Al-Baqarah? where Allah Azza wa Jalla says the same thing, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Then Allah starts mentioning miracles. وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And then it continues all the way until the end, that all of these miracles, that when the ship, it sails out into the ocean and carries the people on that ship, this is a miracle from Allah, that that ship doesn't fall to the ground. And it continues and it says, لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. These are for the people who use their aql and their intelligence. What's interesting is that in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah uses the word يَعْقِلُونَ. It's the present tense verb. Allah doesn't say لِقَوْمٍ عَاقِلِينَ, not for those people who are just pondering. يَعْقِلُونَ means that these group of people, when they look at these miracles, when they look at the ship sailing into the sea, when they look at the skies, the moon, the stars, they are constantly, constantly admiring the miracles of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Al-Bab in Surah Ali Imran is very different. Al-Bab comes from the word lubbun. Lubbun means a person that is aqlun salihun. It's a person that has a sound mind. You know, the reality for a lot of the brothers and sisters, a lot of our Muslims today, is that our minds are corrupted with a lot of filth. You see a lot of things that are haram. We might think about a lot of things that are haram, but for the most part, we involve our things that just cause a lot of filth in our minds. So you know, you'll have a family that looks for an extensive report of the affairs of another home. Who's getting married to who? Who's getting divorced? What's happening there? What's happening with her? Why'd she wear that? Where did he go? Why is he talking? We're always involved in the affairs of others. And so what that does is that it corrupts the mind and causes us to be desensitized to when miracles are mentioned to us. It's just like a person who is always watching horror movies. Then when they go and they listen to a khutbah or a lecture about the Day of Judgment or about the hellfire, they'll say, well, I saw the movie 2012. I saw this horror movie, so what's the big deal? They become desensitized to it. So this group of people, لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Al-Bab are people who stay away from this. You can go up to a person who has a sound mind and say, look how beautiful the sky is, and that's enough. You don't have to explain much to them. You can go up to the person of Al-Bab and describe to them, the mountains are so vast, that's enough. But the one, لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, the one who constantly has to think, you'll have to explain to them why the mountains are a miracle, why the sky is something you should admire. And so brothers and sisters, it's extremely important for you to pause for a moment. And if you want to commemorate the legacy of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, think about what's the most important things on your mind. What are you thinking about? What are your thoughts? Where are they steered to? What are the things that you're always concerned about? Allah Azza wa Jal tells you what to do next. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Three categories are mentioned in the next ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal says that the Al-Bab, these people with a sound mind, they have three characteristics about them. The first thing is that they are always in a constant remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal whilst they are standing, whilst they are sitting, and whilst they are on their sides. Yadhkurun comes from the word dhikr, remembrance of Allah. If you notice in the Quran, almost every single time Allah mentions the word dhikr, it's always attached to the heart. Always attached to the heart. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ, and don't follow, مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't follow the person whose heart has become heedless to the remembrance of Allah. Again, heart and remembrance are attached together. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It's the remembrance of Allah that brings tranquility and peace to the heart. And so dhikr is actually a spiritual exercise of the heart itself. So Allah Azza wa Jal says that this Al-Bab, they are in a constant remembrance of Allah. They are thinking of Allah with every footstep they take. Anywhere they go, Allah is on their mind. This person, whilst they're standing, they're in the remembrance. Sitting, they're in remembrance. On their side, they're still in remembrance. Now you can look at this in one of two ways. This is like the person who is memorizing all the du'as of the sunnah. We have the du'as for entering our cars, exiting. Entering our homes, coming out. Entering the masjid, leaving. Performing the wudu and finishing the wudu. We have a du'a for everything that we do. And alhamdulillah, this is wonderful. This is excellent and this is good. Now let me tell you something about why these du'as are so important. Do you ever find yourself that when you do something, so let's say you walk into a movie theater, how often does a person say Bismillah before they walk into a movie theater? Or they say Allahumma adkhilna fi rahmatik. Oh Allah, enter me in your mercy, and they go into a movie theater. It doesn't happen. This indicates to you that that action is probably something you shouldn't be doing. There's no dua for it. You probably should think twice before getting into that. And this is really keen for a youth. Because what this will do for a youth is if all of their friends want to go out late in the evening, if all of their friends want to go and smoke or do something haram, this individual is going to be able to exercise the heart and say no. They're in a constant state of remembrance. They know that there is no dua to do that thing, so they should probably think twice about falling into it in the first place. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا. Whilst you're standing, whilst you're sitting, and whilst you're on the side. وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This ayah continues that this individual, يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. They're in a constant state of pondering about the samawat. Allah brings it again. يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا. O my master, مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You didn't create these things in vain. سُبْحَانَكَ, meaning subhanallah, for me to even think that the sky doesn't really have a purpose, it's just there. That the mountains is really no beauty in it, it's just there. Subhanallah for me to think this. And brothers and sisters, realize and understand, the word subhanallah, how it's used in the Quran, it's always used to negate something evil. That's why when Allah Azza wa Jal talks about shirk, He will say subhanallah after. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Subhanallah for the ones who committed shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. That's how subhanallah is used. So subhanallah for thinking, faqina azab an-nar. Oh Allah, protect us from ever being near the fire. Then the ayah continues. Rabbana innaka man tudkhil an-nar faqad akhzayta wa ma lil-zalimin min ansar. Oh Allah, you're the one that's going to enter whoever you wish into the fire. Faqad akhzayta. You're going to enter them in a state, and it's possible that you will put them in a state of akhzayta. The word akhzayta comes from the word khizyun. Khizyun means to humiliate somebody publicly, embarrass them publicly. So Allah, this believer is saying to Allah Azza wa Jal, oh Allah, you have the authority of putting this person in the fire, and in addition to that, you'll humiliate them in front of all the human beings on Yawmul Qiyamah. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That's why you're asking Allah, oh Allah, prevent us from this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the hellfire. And any embarrassment before that fire, the judgment day, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from them. فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. The zalim, the transgressor, doesn't have any significant aid or help from Allah Azza wa Jal at that time. Ansar comes from the word nasrun. Nasrun is generally translated as help. But nasrun is very different from that. Sa'idna or sa'id also means the same thing, that you're helping an individual. So what's the difference? When you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, what you're asking is for Allah to give you a significant amount of aid, a huge amount of help. So on that day, the zalim doesn't even have that, let alone just a little bit of help. We jump forward, brothers and sisters, where Allah Azza wa Jal says the believer, one of his du'as, Rabbana, O my master, innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil-iman. Allah Azza wa Jal says the believer, one of his du'as, is that he's asking, O my master, I've heard the call. Innana sami'na munadi. I've heard the call. Munadi comes from the word nida'un. Nida'un doesn't just mean a call. It means a call that's coming from a far distance, far, far away. So the believer in 2013 is saying, Oh Allah, I hear the call that's come from a far distance. What is this call? All of us here are shahid, we're witnesses to the call of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of La ilaha illallah. We are all witnesses. We hear the call of Nuh alayhi salam, of Hud alayhi salam, and all the prophets and messengers who came. You testify, O Allah, I hear that same call that came to generations before me. I still hear that same call with me today. What is the call to? Yunadi lil iman. You're calling the person to iman. Faith, have iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. And aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. So that you believe in your master and you respond to the call. Fa amanna. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. Wa kaffir anna sayyiatina. Wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Three things you want from Allah more than anything else. Oh Allah, my master. فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Cover for me my most embarrassing sins. ذُنُوب comes from the word ذَنْبٌ. ذَنْبٌ is not just a sin. It's an embarrassing sin that you don't want anybody to know about. And you're asking Allah to put a مَغْفِرَ on this embarrassing sin. مَغْفِرَ is literally a helmet that you put on your head. So you're asking Allah, Oh Allah, cover that sin. But here's the interesting thing. The next part of the verse, it says, وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. كَفِّرْ comes from the word kufr, kafir, disbeliever. We know this, but linguistically what it means is to bury something deep in the ground. The word kufrun, to take, the farmer takes a seed and he buries it deep into the ground and covers it up. That's called kufrun. So what are you asking here? You're asking, Oh Allah, كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. Take our ugly deeds. سَيِّئَاتِنَا. سَيِّئَاتِنَا comes from the word سَيِّ. Ugly, it's vicious. You don't even want to think about it. You don't want nobody to look at it. Take those sins and bury it deep into the ground. You know when you go to a cemetery and you see the dirt is piled up over the body. You don't know whose body is in there. You can't see, but you know that there is a body there because there's a small little hill of dirt. كَفِّرْ سَيِّئَاتِنَا. You're asking Allah to eliminate that pile so that nobody even knows that there is a body there. So nobody even knows or can even think that that sin is really there from you. It's a much deeper meaning. Do you see why these verses brought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tears? وَقِنَا عَذَابَ وَكَفِرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And the last thing that he asks, Oh Allah, cause me to be buried amongst the abrar, the righteous men and women. Cause me to be amongst your righteous, because the greatest gratitude, the greatest thing that we are thankful for is, wallahi, brothers and sisters, it's to be amongst each other. Look around you. This is the thing that you should be so involved in, is to look around you and look at your brothers and sisters, the righteous people that are surrounding you. The Jum'ah, all of us coming together, this is the thing that we want to be buried with. We want to be amongst the people of Al-Iman. This is significantly important for somebody who wakes up one day. They want to practice their religion. They want to practice the deen. But their family disowns them. Their parents disown them. Their teachers disown them. Everybody around them, and they're left by themselves. Oh Allah, tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allow me to be amongst the people who are righteous. We move forward and conclude, brothers and sisters. And where the believer, they say, Oh Allah, Rabbana wa atina ma wa'adtana ala rusulik. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Oh my master, Give me the thing that you promised. The same thing that you promised the prophets and the messengers who came before me. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ You notice the believer is asking for the same thing again. Don't humiliate me in front of everybody on the Day of Judgment. But what's different about this ayah? It just mentioned, just now it mentioned the prophets and messengers. So it adds another attribute to the same dua. Oh Allah, don't humiliate me, especially in front of Prophet Adam, Prophet Nuh, Prophet Shu'aib, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't humiliate me, especially in front of these prophets and messengers. Why? These were the ones that you gave the message to and they carried it to me. Oh Allah, don't embarrass me in front of them. It's just like the teacher who teaches his student and trains the student to be a qari, a reciter, a scholar, and realizes that the student is only involved in sin and haram. The student, when he confronts his scholar as his teacher, he doesn't want the teacher to know what he's gone through because it's going to be a humiliation in front of him. So you're asking, oh Allah, don't humiliate me, especially in front of them. Oh Allah, innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. You never go against your promise. What does Allah Azza wa Jal do? Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ Allah Azza wa Jal answers that dua. Istijaba, it means that it's a constant answer. The more you make this dua, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to continue to keep answering and answering and answering that dua. We conclude in the second part of the khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to have a sound mind and a sound heart, that when we hear the ayat of the Quran, it strikes us and causes us to think and to ponder about our own lives. May Allah Azza wa Jal attach our hearts to the Quran. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ورسائل المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد. I hope, brothers and sisters, inshallah, that the introduction to just a few of these verses is causing you to start thinking about your relationship with the Quran. And if you think about your relationship with the Quran, you will naturally start to love your relationship with the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These verses that I've just gone through with you, they encourage you to be a thinker of the Quran. Think Quran every day of your life. If somebody comes to you and they're rude to you, or they're obnoxious, or they slap you, or they criticize you, you think Quran. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا Be patient of what they're saying to you. Leave them alone, but leave them in a dignified way. Don't say something, don't get in your last two senses in the conversation and says, okay, you're with Allah now. Allah says, هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا Leave in a dignified manner. When you look at the mountains, you look at the stars, you look at all of these things, you start thinking, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Now, brothers and sisters, as we start to approach the spring season, you're going to start to see all the trees become green again. We just recovered from an ice storm. You're going to think to yourself, SubhanAllah, look at the state of these plants now. But Allah Azza wa Jal will eventually, أَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا Allah will give life to all of this after it's been dead. That's how you have to think of Quran. When you see your children coming to the classes, as you see right here in the school, and you see your young daughter, she puts on the hijab, and you see them sitting at a young age for Yawm al-Jum'ah. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا Oh Allah, cause my family and my wives and my children to be the coolness of my eyes. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ also means that when you look at your child and you see them doing something for the religion for the first time in your life, you're so happy that you're brought to tears. See your son making wudu and reciting Quran for the first time in his life? It brings you to tears. That's qurratu a'yun. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا A man takes control and makes sure that he provides for his home. He makes sure he looks after his wife and his children. He makes sure that there's always money and security and stability in the house. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. He is the muttaqi and he is the imam of the home. Who is his jama'ah? It's his family. He has that leadership, his jama'ah now becomes his family. That's what you have to do with Qur'an. And you have to train your mind and your heart to think about Qur'an. And don't fall into one extreme. Don't become an intellect. That you're intelligent about everything with the dunya and you're a doctor and you have your PhD. But when it comes to that spiritual knowledge, the Islamic knowledge, you're missing that ingredient. Then you have the other extreme. You find some people that are spiritually influenced. They have high iman, but they don't understand anything in this world. They don't understand the logistics of how the world runs. The Qur'an calls you to have a balance between both. That's why the scholar could write about the Qur'an and explain it for his entire life and he'll never get tired. But the person who stands up in salah and doesn't understand a word of Arabic, he or she is brought to tears just by hearing the Qur'an. The Qur'an calls you to be an intelligent person, but also calls you to become a spiritually influenced person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attach our hearts to the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us in understanding His Qur'an and implementing it in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to follow the traditions and the sunnah of our beloved Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. These are the words that I conclude with, brothers and sisters. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi. Ya ayyuhallathina amanu sallallahu صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.